When Vanessa Carlton was 16, she wrote a song that would change her life. She went to a performing arts high school to study ballet, but played piano and was getting more into music.
Making my way downtown.
Within a few years, she got signed to a major label and the song blew up. If you were listening to the radio in 2002, you've heard it. The thing is, that was 15 years ago. Vanessa is still a musician. She recently released a critically acclaimed album called Liberman. And yet the song casts a very large shadow. I could not find a single review of her album that did not mention A Thousand Miles. I mean, look at how I'm starting this episode. I'm totally guilty of it. Would you prefer it if people just stopped talking about it?
I mean, totally. I mean, it's riding a fine line when I talk about it because it's a complicated situation because on one hand, you know, it doesn't mean that I don't like the song and that I'm not so thrilled that it's allowed me to do so much, you know, so I don't want to seem like a jerk about it. But it's like writing a little essay when you were in high school and it got published in something. I look at it as it's its own animal. I exist beside it. I never have to compare anything or attach anything to that moment.
Do you still play it?
Yes, I do. I play it. It's the first song of every show. I'm not joking.
From Nashville Public Radio, this is Movers and Thinkers, where I get to introduce you to three fascinating people from different backgrounds with a common theme. I'm Emily Siner, and today we're talking to three reinventors, people who've had to start over in a big way. Vanessa Carlton is a musician who's gone from being a pop star to venturing out on her own as an independent artist. She now lives in Nashville. Chris Echegaray was a reporter for the city's daily newspaper, The Tennessean, before a round of layoffs took his job. He decided to leave journalism altogether and now works with immigrant families in public schools.
Yeah, I'm not going to romanticize this. I didn't know what lay ahead.
And Chip Pei sells real estate on the Gulf Coast of Florida, but only after working in country music for 24 years, he ended that career as a personal manager for some high-profile artists, like Alan Jackson.
I remember one thing that Alan asked me. He said, what are you so stressed out about? And I was speechless.
The four of us sat in front of a larger-than-normal live audience at Nashville Public Radio's podcast party held at the Nashville Children's Theater. We talk about the challenges of leaving behind your past and walking into a future that feels especially uncertain. Stick with us.
This episode of Movers and Thinkers is sponsored by Nashville Software School, a place where anyone with aptitude, passion, and commitment can learn the craft of software development. Nashville Software School is a nonprofit boot camp that can help you ditch your crappy job and become a programmer. Visit NashvilleSoftwareSchool.com to learn more. And by the Jennings A. Jones College of Business at Middle Tennessee State University. It graduates creative entrepreneurs who change their communities for the better. Working professionals can get an MBA in 12 months, in person or online, with specialties in music business and healthcare management. Visit mtsu.edu/business.
Sometimes people start over with a nice, slow transition. Maybe the idea to do something new has been simmering for a while. Not so with Chip Pei. See, Chip had decided he wanted to get into the business of country music way back when he was a student at Vanderbilt University.
I convinced my parents to let me take a semester off and walk up and down the streets of Music Row and try to get a job. And of course, they didn't think for one second I would get a job. But Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn hired me and gave me my first shot as a talent agent working for their company.
He devoted his life to this field, working his way up the ladder, eventually becoming a personal manager for people like Ricky Skaggs and the Bellamy Brothers.
Doing what I did in the music industry, it's a 24/7, 365 job.
2.5 decades after he started, he was managing the career of Alan Jackson. Alan had been selling out arenas across North America. He was the national spokesman for the Ford F-150 pickup truck. Chip was working overtime behind the scenes. And then something flipped.
The last year, I knew something was wrong. I was slipping into pretty deep depression and totally burned out after 24 years of nonstop craziness. And I was literally told by my doctors that you're done, and if you don't get out and stop, you're gonna die. And that really was a shock. It scared me to death because that's all I knew.
Being a personal manager, why is that so stressful?
I would have to say, and ask anybody in the music business, I think the job of the personal manager is the most difficult, most thankless job in the industry, because you are literally, you oversee and are in charge of every aspect of the artist, not only their career, but trust me, you get dragged into every aspect of their personal life as well. Yes, I've gotten the phone calls at 3 a.m, and that's just typical of that business.
I would just like to say on record that I've never made that 3 a.m. call.
So for Chip, that moment of reckoning, of deciding to start over, came unexpectedly during a doctor's appointment. I wondered what this moment was like for Chris, the former journalist. When you were a reporter, had you ever considered doing something else?
I mean, goodness, I loved it. I just working with amazing people, interviewing amazing people, the adrenaline of deadline. But for me, the industry was in turmoil. We had furloughs, buyouts, layoffs, and I knew that the day when I went to our homepage and we saw the gallery of like local celebrities with Bieber hair, you know, I was like, clickbait. That's not for me. I knew I had to get out, but we're lulled into complacency, and we love what we do. So, you know, when the Tennessean was like, yeah, we'll pay you to stay home, I was like, oh, okay.
And this unexpected change was not easy to handle.
Yeah, I'm not going to romanticize this. I didn't know what lay ahead. I kept freelancing. I kept writing. I kept doing things that I was comfortable with. But I didn't know what to transition to. So I'm not going to romanticize that. When Emily called and said, well, you know, we're talking about reinventing oneself, I looked up emails and called up people when I was going through this transition to see what I was like. Because we always see ourselves a little bit different, right? So I called friends and professor friends, academic friends, industry friends, and they're like, you were feeling sorry for yourself. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Let for 5 minutes, but just trudge on.
For Vanessa, deciding to start over was a longer-term decision. She says the seeds were maybe even planted toward the beginning of her career.
I was about 19 when I got signed to my publishing deal as a writer, and then I got signed to Universal when I was 20.
This is what she calls the pop star machine.
They're all older male executives, and they're like, okay, let me see how I can package this girl. It's very, very difficult to navigate on your own. I remember when I was about to film my first video for 1,000 Miles, and my manager called me in to his office on 22nd Street. I was in New York City, and he goes like, "Go like this." He like pinched his arm. I was like, "Okay." He's like, "Lose it," you know, kind of stuff like that. Like I was like, I think starting in that moment, I was very much like, "Okay, so I'm some sort of product," you know, and I think that was the beginning of the end, really.
But the actual end took a while. She didn't leave the major label system until 2008, 6 years after 1,000 Miles.
I was on my third record. I was still living in New York, and I had wanted to make certain artistic decisions along the way that was always squashed by committee. And it was always a threat, like, well, we're not going to give you the money to complete this project unless you do it in this way. And then it's like, you know, you get to a point where you realize, actually, I'm in control of this situation. I think that's one of the most empowering and wonderful moments in any human brain, where you're like, I am contributing to staying in this place. So if you say to yourself, you know, I've led myself here and I am not a victim of this situation, then it means you're empowered. And you can slowly make the shifts you need to to change.
What did that look like? I mean, I don't know anything about being on a major label. Like, how do you shift yourself away from that and then be like, okay, bye?
Yeah. Well, I just was easy. For me, it was really easy.
She was given an ultimatum by a record label.
So either you do it this way or we're not going to give you another budget. So it was like, it was really felt amazing to walk away. And then I got to, like I said earlier about that freaking song, I'm just kidding, about that. That has been so incredible because then I have publishing coming in from that and I could go make my dream record that I've always wanted to make with this wizard that lives in the middle of nowhere, England. I could work analog, which the label laughed in my face. Are you kidding? You're going to want to compact a tape. It's like you cut the tie and then I had to do it myself.
The end for Vanessa was getting out of the major label system and going independent. But Chip and Chris both did a total career switch. Chip into real estate, Chris into education at Metro Nashville Public Schools. I know, like, journalism, and I'm sure music too, it's such an identity. Like, do you still feel like a reporter?
Oh, definitely.
How so?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm at Metro and I'm like, wow, that's an amazing story.
Chip, I'm wondering when he's talking about, like, still seeing stories, does that resonate with you with music? Like, when you watch Country Music Awards, are you like, oh, these are my people?
I don't watch it. I'm a guitar player, too. So I played for 30 years with Pat Patrick, played with his big band all over the United States. And so I still am involved on the periphery as much as I want to be. But you got to remember, I came up through the ranks in the 1970s, and I cut my teeth on Merle Haggard, George Jones, Conway Twitty, the great traditionalists. And I like traditional country music, and of course, country radio does not play that today.
Is there anything that you miss about being in the business?
Nothing.
Really?
Nothing. I had a wonderful career that I would not give anything in the world for. I got to travel all over the world, see things and do things that most people just dream about. And I'm very, very blessed to have had that. But being subjected to the stress and the pressure that I was subjected to over that 24 years, I remember what that felt like in January of 2000, and I'm not going back.
Of course, moving forward isn't always easy either. Coming up, we'll talk to Chip, Vanessa, and Chris about navigating the choppy waters of transition. Stay with us.
This episode of Movers and Thinkers is sponsored by Nashville Software School, where people are changing their lives every day by becoming software developers. People like Takesha Hammock, who went from being a call center supervisor to a junior developer in 6 months.
All right, I'm using Sublime to show you the code.
She scrolls down a screen of colored symbols, program instructions for a game she wrote that teaches girls to code. Hammock always felt like an artist type with no talent for tech. But creating that game changed how she saw herself.
And I realized, I could be the person that makes that thing. Why not me? I mean, now the whole world is open to me.
Reprogram yourself and become a person who makes things at this part-time or full-time boot camp. Visit NashvilleSoftwareSchool.com to learn more. And by the Jennings A. Jones College of Business at Middle Tennessee State University. Javaneh Hemmat moved here from the United Arab Emirates in 1998 to study business at MTSU. Now, her hummus chick brand of creamy hummus and spice mixes are sold all over the city.
Do you want to take a bite?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So good.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
In college, Hemmat missed her Persian family's cooking and taught herself to make the dishes of her childhood. And in her accounting classes, she learned how to crunch numbers. That took her love of cooking from the kitchen to the shelves.
Without the bottom line, the dream just becomes a hobby. I wanted more.
You can get a business degree online or in person in as little as 12 months with the Flex MBA program from Jones College of Business. Go to mtsu.edu/business.
We've been talking to Vanessa, Chris, and Chip about the process of reinvention, turning into something new, taking on a challenge. And we've been talking about it in the context of their careers. But as Chris points out, your personal life is certainly intertwined with that.
This is like really so unique to our society that we're wrapped up in our occupations. You know, when we travel abroad, you know, in the first 5 minutes, people don't ask you, what do you do? And also friends and family make it tough. Oh, here's my reporter friend, Chris. Or here's Chip, he manages Loretta Lynn. Here's Vanessa, who is like a megastar. You know, it's these.
that's how people define you.
That's how people define you. It makes it tough.
To clarify, Chip was a talent agent for Loretta Lynn. He managed other country stars. But you get the point. Sometimes even the thought of your friends wanting to see you as your old self, it's just very uncomfortable. Here's Vanessa.
I think that's huge. I think the way you perceive that you're going to be looked at by the people around you, it's really hard with parents that see you a certain way. I think that's so rough. You're coming from an environment like that where you're just supposed to be this kind of profile. It's how your mother saw you. It's how your father saw you. I think that's like probably the most difficult internal like fight and struggle that I think most of us can have.
Chip didn't have to worry as much about how other people saw him. When he left the country music business, he left Nashville altogether.
In early 2000, I had a 25-acre horse farm down in Santa Fe, Tennessee, and I literally disappeared to the farm for 5-6 years before I did eventually sell it. But the greatest therapy in the world for me was getting up on my tractor and cutting and baling hay. And I loved it. And that physical activity just was very, very therapeutic. I think it saved my life at the time. It really did. And then, you know, about 7 years down the road, I got the itch to do something again.
And so how did real estate make its way into your life?
Well, a dear friend of mine who lived down in Grayton Beach.
That's on the Florida Panhandle on a county highway between Destin and Panama City that's home to a bunch of beach communities. And this friend was starting a real estate company there.
They asked me if I would consider moving down there and becoming their VP of business development. Specifically, they wanted me to negotiate all of the rental management deals. And I hadn't worked in 7 years. And it was terrifying because I didn't know if I could still do it. To be totally honest, I loved doing deals. That's what I did for 24 years, whether they be record deals, publishing deals, endorsement, sponsorship. And so I said yes. And I think my career in the music business and managing artists and all, it was a very, very seamless transition.
You know, I was just thinking while Chip was speaking, like, people are so fascinated with these shifts and changes, not just ours in particular, like change in general. It's so scary. Mm-hmm. Human beings don't like to do it. The fear is a bit cliche, but true. The fear of the unknown is always more terrifying than the actual unknown.
Yes.
The unknown is really not that bad, but the way your brain works, you just don't want to even go there.
Faced with the unknown, starting over her career as an independent artist, Vanessa says she just did it. She took the next step. And she discovered something else that was incredibly empowering.
One thing I learned personally was that my instincts were pretty much spot on, but I mean, not always. I've definitely dated some people that it was not questionable instincts. But in terms of like my impulse in the essence of who I am and the type of artist and the way I wanted to connect to my world, that's, you're born with that. And it's like you just don't ever want to quiet it too much and you just want to try and listen to it. And you know, when you see and meet a wonderful person and you're like, that person's a great person. I just want to know that person, you know, and whether work or personal, whatever. And same thing with a sound or an idea or like just to follow what your essence is.
Vanessa brings up several good points about instincts and who you are. You can't go from being a reporter with this ethos or this mission of shining a light in dark places, or trying to, you know, comfort the afflicted, afflict the comfortable, and be like, let me go work for the EpiPen guy, and let me work for a communication strategy so he could support his, like, 1,000% uptick on the EpiPen. You know, so, like, I had to do something that aligned with my ethos, with my mission. You know, I put my head on the pillow every night, and I'm okay, you know. And I think at the end of the day, that's what you have to be happy with yourself.
And Chris says it helped that he had people around him who supported him. Vanessa did too, he says.
She was saying, like, she knows who to collaborate with. Chip knows who to collaborate with. And I think, can you guys tell me, made the transition easier? Because, you know, you can't transition to a new career and have mediocre people around you to be like, yeah, you can do this. You have to have good people around you.
I look back on what happened to me, and the hardest thing that I ever had to do was sit down with Alan and Denise Jackson and say, I can't do this anymore. And the support and love that I felt from them, I think in a lot of respects, business people and artistic people, there's a little disconnect. They don't get each other. And it's hard. I look back on it and laugh, because that was a very, very tough emotional meeting. But I remember one thing that Alan asked me. He said, what are you so stressed out about? And I looked at him, and I was speechless. I just said, you know, it's 24 years of this. It just caught up with me. But I don't think he totally understood, but was so incredibly supportive that I'll never forget that.
So if you had to reinvent yourself again, what would be like the next thing you did?
Wow.
Or are you just like, never again? Once was enough.
I think that we have no answers. I think that I just so taken, I'm so in where I'm at right now. Like, I'm not thinking about, like, what's the next thing I want or to achieve. I think we're always constantly changing whether we want to admit it or not, and for the good or the bad, the pendulum always swings. And I just feel like I don't really have an answer to your question, because I'm working on where I'm at the moment, you know?
So you reject the question.
I reject it.
Yes. Well, Chip, Chris, Vanessa, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you for having us.
That was Vanessa Carlton, Chip Pei, and Chris Echegaray. Movers and Thinkers is made possible by our engineers, Carl Peterson and Cameron Adkins, the show's editors, Mac Linebaugh, Anita Bug, and Blake Farmer, who I always forget to thank because he's so humble and self-effacing. So thank you, Blake. Also, thanks to the Nashville Children's Theater, where we had the taping of this episode. If you want to come to a live taping, and I know you do, get on our mailing list for updates at wpln.org/movers. Check out Nashville Public Radio's other podcasts, too. Neighbors is a beautiful show about what connects us. Curious Nashville answers your questions about the city. Go to wpln.org and click on podcasts to find those. Music for this episode is by Blue Dot Sessions and by Dave Coleman and Justin Shipper. I'm Emily Seiner, and this is Nashville Public Radio.